Today, we continue with lesson number 32 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Meseches Menachos. We're in the 10th perek, and today we'll be learning Mishnah Dalet and Mishnah He, the 4th and 5th Mishnah of Perek Yud. We're following the procedure of the Kitziras HaOmer, which was done Motsoi Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on the second night of Pesach, when those of us who are in Chutz Loretz are doing the second Seder, Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they were out in the field cutting the barley necessary for the Korban Omer, which was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed, on the second day of Pesach. Kitzaruhu, the Mishnah begins, Mishnah Dalet. They cut the stalks of barley. Unisanuhu bakupos, and they put them into baskets. Heviyuhu lo azoro, they brought them to the azora, to the temple courtyard. Hayumahavavhin oso ba'ur, they would roast them upon a flame, kind of scorching the outside of the shibolim, of the stalks of barley. They did this k'dei l'kayim bo mitzvas koli divrei Rav Meir. The posuk in Parshas Vayikra, in Chumash Vayikra, Perek Beis, posuk Yudalad reads, v'yim takriv minchas bikurim l'ashem, oviv koloi bo'esh, etc., takriv es minchas bikurecho. And Chazal teach us that the Minchas Bikurim is one and the same as the Minchas HaOmer. So it had to be Kalui Bo'esh, roasted over the fire. So Ramea says that they would roast the grains of barley while they were still in their stalks, still in the Shibolim. The Chachomim Omnim, Bikonim Uviklichos Choftimoso, they would beat the stalks of barley with soft sticks, and kalichos are stalks of kruv, of a vegetable called kruv, a cabbage-like vegetable. By beating them with these soft materials, they would be clearly kadesh lo yisma'ech, they wouldn't crush or mash the grains of barley, which was still quite moist and very, very fresh. But by beating them in this way, they were able to extract the garinim, the seeds of barley, from the shibolim, from the stalks, and then nisanuhu lo'abuv. They would take the seeds and put them into a kind of a pan, a copper pan, which v'abuv hoya menukov. The copper pan had holes, it was like a screen bottom to this pan, kedei sheyehei ha'ur sholeit b'chulo, so that the flame would roast all the garinim, all the grains of barley which were in the abuv. Shitochu bo azoro, after that roasting, they would spread the grains of barley in the courtyard of the temple, in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash. V'horuach menasheves bo, and the wind would blow, cooling off the garinim, cooling off the seeds, and drying off the moisture which had accumulated on the barley from the heat of the fire, from the roasting process. Then nisanuhu berechayim shel gorosos, they would put the grains of barley into a mill that was used to grind larger vegetables and barley grains, beans and things of that sort, which would not grind the barley very fine, but rather grind it so that it was just coarse flour. And then v'hotziu mimenu isoron, then they would further grind the barley, extracting a nesoron, 1/10 of an epha of fine flour of solas. Shehu menupe mishalosh esrei nofa, which was equivalent to the grind, the sifting in 13 sifters. So it was very, very fine barley flour. And by extracting a isorom, there was, of course, all the rest of the barley that they had harvested and roasted, etc., which was left. V'hashor, so that which was left, nifdeh, had to be redeemed because it was considered kadosh, and therefore it had to be redeemed. V'ne'echol l'chol adam, once it was redeemed, it could be eaten by everyone. So the assumption is that all of the barley flour was kadosh, only an isaron of it remained kadosh. V'chayav b'chala, once you took that she'or, that remainder over and above the isaron, and made it into cakes or breads, etc., then it was chayav in the mitzvah of chala. You had to give chala to the kohen, because the obligation to give chala begins when you roll the dough, when you roll the flour and water into dough. That was done after the pidyon, after the flour was no longer kadosh. Since it was no longer kadosh, but rather chol, chulin, ordinary, not sacred, it was obligated in the mitzvah of chala. But upatur min hamasros, because the obligation to give maaser rishon, maaser sheni, etc., begins with the miruach. The miruach means after the grain of barley or wheat is separated from its chaff, it is heaped in one place in a granary, and the top of the bushel is smoothed over. That process is called miruach. From that point on, the tefuah is obligated in masros. Now, that procedure of miruach was done when the barley flour was still kadosh before the pidyon. And therefore, things which are kadosh, which are hekdesh, are potur from ma'asros. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'chala uva ma'asros. Rabbi Akiva believes that certainly the sha'or, the remainder above and beyond the isaron, is obligated in chala, because the chi of chala comes with the gilgul ha'isa, with the rolling of the dough, and that certainly comes after the pidyon. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, this sha'or, this extra flour, was also obligated in masros, because Rabbi Akiva holds that when the money of Hegdish was given to pay for this barley, all that Hegdish paid for was that amount of soles necessary for the Isaron. The rest of the barley over and beyond that Isaron was never Hegdish. Never. Now we know that was never Hegdish, and therefore never required pidyon, but was chulin all along. Since it was chulin all along, it's chayev obligated in ma'asros, as well as in challah. Now, we return to the sequence. Bolo li isaron. Once the isaron was extracted, now the person, the kohen involved in the hakrovas haomer, came on the daytime, day 16, daylight, and he took the isaron and he prepared it as you would prepare an ordinary korban mincha, meaning you first put some shemen in the keli, in the klishores, in the vessel. The nosan shamno, he would put the shemen, a little bit of shemen, at the bottom of the kli, putting the soles, putting the fine barley flour on top of that shemen. Ulevo noso, and he would put adjacent to the flour, in the holy vessel, he would put the levona, the incense. Yotzak, then he would pour a second amount of shemen, a second amount of oil, onto the flour, ubolal, and stir it, mix it up. Then, and this next stage is absent from the Mishnah, there would be a third application of shemen. There would be a second yitzika, pouring of shemen, after the yitzika ublila, as we learned back in Perek Vov, Mishneh Gimel, that every mincha requires three matnos of shemen, three applications of shemen. This third one is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Heinif, then he would wave the Minchas HaOmer according to the pattern which we learned about earlier, in all four directions, northeast, southwest, and up and down. Vihigish, and he would take the Korban Mincha and approach the southwest corner of the Mizbeach with it. Vikomatz, he would perform the Kemitza, extracting the three fingers full of barley flour from the keli, from the vessel. And Vihiktir, and he would put upon the fire the Kometz and the Lavona and the incense. This would leave over the rest of the Isaron. Only the Kemitza, the three fingers full, and the incense was placed upon the fire. The rest, Hasha'or, Ne'echola Kohanim, would be eaten by the Kohanim. That's Mishneh Dalet. Mishneh Hay continues. Mishikorev HaOmer, once the Korban Omer was brought, once the Kometz and the Lavona were placed upon the fire, the mitzvah of Haktorah was done. Yotzi'in, people would go out into the street. Umotzi'in Shuk Yerushalayim Shehu Mole Kemach V'Koli. They would see the streets of Yerushalayim full of flour and toasted flour, toasted barley, toasted wheat, from the new tevua, from the tevua which was just harvested. Shelo birtzon chachomim, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir said that this was against the desire, against the was displeasing to the chachomim, because when was this tevua cut, harvested, and ground? It must have been done before the hakrovas haomer. And the Chachamim were concerned if you would be reaping and grinding before the Hakrovas HaOmer, you would also be eating before the Hakrovas HaOmer. And the Chodosh, the new grain, would only be mutar to be consumed after the Hakrova. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't like the idea that instantly after the Hakrova, there was already flour available from the new Tevuah Chadosha. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda objects and says, Birtzon Chachamim Hayosim. The Chachamim were not displeased. They were not concerned that people would eat from the Tevuah Chadosha before the Hakrovas HaOmer. The Mishnah continues. Mishekorav HaOmer, once the Omer was brought upon the Mizbeach, Hutar HaChodosh Miyad, immediately Chodosh, the new Tevuah, became permissible. That's, of course, if you're living in Yerushalayim and you know, you see, or someone tells you, just 5 minutes ago, they finished the Hakrova of the Korban HaOmer. So then you know, now I can eat Chodosh. But what about if you're further away from Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah continues, for Horechokim, those who are at some distance from Yerushalayim, Mutorim Mechatzos Hayom Ulahalon, they were permitted to assume at noon that the korban had already been brought. Mishechora beis hamikdash, once the holy temple was destroyed, so there was no hakrovas haomer. So when can you eat the tevuah chadosha? When can you eat the new tevuah? Hiskin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyehe yom honeif kulo osur. He made a takona that the entire day called Yom Honeif, the day of the waving of the Omer, which is the 16th day of Nisan, would entirely be osur. You could not eat Chodosh until the entire 16th day of Nisan was over. This is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that it was a takona, a new procedure implemented or initiated by Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehuda objects and says, V'halo min ha-Torah hu osur. If you study the psukim carefully in Parshas Emor, you will see that the psukim themselves seem to imply that when there is no Beis HaMikdash, the entire Yom HaNeif is osur. You can't eat Chodosh, the entire 16th day of Nisan. Shenema, because the Pasuk says two things about when you can eat Chodosh. One phrase is Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, until this very day, meaning Ad Va'ad Bichlal, until this very day, and it's over, until the night of the 17th of Nisan, you cannot eat the Nutfuah. The Pasuk concludes there, however, Ad Haviyachem Es Korban Elokeichem. You cannot eat the Chodosh, the Tfuah Chadosha, until you have brought the Korban, meaning the Korban Omer. Which seems to mean that if it's brought at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can eat Chodosh 9 o'clock in the morning on the 16th. The implication is that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and korbanos are brought, then the instant the korban is brought, even though it's early in the morning of the 16th, one can begin to eat the Tfuah Chadosha. However, when there is no Beis HaMikdash standing, then Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, you can't eat the Tfuah Chadosha until the day of 16th is passed. So what objects Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yochanan, is the Mishnah saying that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai instituted this. It was instituted way back in the time when the Torah was given. The Gemara explains two approaches. One is that hiskin doesn't mean Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai came up with a new takona, but rather dorash v'hiskin. He explicated these texts in the Torah, in the Chumash, and showed that Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, is what applies when the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, is destroyed. There was another opinion in the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understood Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh to mean Ad Velo Ad Bichlal, meaning that when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, Chodosh is Osur until the morning of the 16th, not until the 16th is over, but until the morning. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takon and know it should be Osur all day, because hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt soon, tomorrow. And if that's the case, people will say, oh, last year, as soon as it was dawn, we ate Chodosh, not realizing that that was only permissible when there was no Korban Omer, no Beis HaMikdash. But now that there is a Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat it first thing in the morning. You have to wait until the Korban Omer is brought. Mishnah continues, why in the time of the Beis HaMikdash were people at great distances from Yerushalayim allowed to assume that the Korban Omer was brought by noon? Maybe they would be delayed, not brought until 1 p.m., 2 p.m. The Mishnah explains, b'mnei shehen yodin, because they, meaning the people, all the people who are at some distance from Yerushalayim, knew fully well, she'ein beis din mis'atzlin bo, the beis din, meaning the authorities, would not procrastinate, would not be lazy, but rather they would bring the Korban Omer as soon as possible in the morning, certainly well before noon. And so we have finished Mishneh of Perek Yud, and in the process have concluded lesson number 32.